I said this morning that what we're looking at in the book of Proverbs today is really important. And I told the ladies especially to come. So it's good to see some of the ladies coming. Others have deliberately stayed away, I think. But what I want to do is look at the most important relationship that exists between human beings on this earth. And we're going to try and find wisdom from the book of Proverbs regarding this relationship. And that relationship, of course, we know is marriage. So this week we want to look at the Proverbs and see what it says about a wife and what a wife should be. And next week we'll look at what the book of Proverbs has to say to husbands. Now, if you're not married, don't think this is not relevant for me, because most people do get married, and therefore it's good that we have this wisdom in knowing how to find and look for a partner in marriage and the qualities that they should possess. Now, of course, what the proverb says here about husbands and wives is not exhaustive. It only touches on certain areas, but we're going to just stick primarily to Proverbs and draw wisdom out from the Proverbs here for husbands and wives. So what we've done so far, we've looked at Proverbs chapters 1 through to 9, and now we're moving on to the second section. So we've picked out certain Proverbs from the first section. These are 10 fatherly talks. We didn't look at every fatherly talk, but some of them. And a lot of this was relevant to children. But the next section, chapters 10 through to 22, chapter 22 and verse 16, is not easy to preach through, because there seems to be no running theme. There's no narrative here. The proverbs seem fairly random. So you have different proverbs coming at you all the time. Sometimes there is a short running theme, but most of the time it's fairly arbitrary. And we said that what Solomon is doing here is reflecting life, because life is not neat and tidy. It can be very haphazard. In one day, we may need wisdom for lots of different things. And so this is what's reflected, I think, here in this second section, that Solomon is reflecting life. And one of the areas that we need a lot of wisdom on these days is marriage, because marriages are under attack. The landscape in this country and throughout the Western world is radically changing. Marriages either end up in divorce, so over 40% of marriages end up in divorce, or people live together and they tolerate each other, but they are unhappy and they bear with marriage and with each other. But the relationship can be very strained. So what can we learn about marriage from the book of Proverbs? So wives, what can we learn about your role in marriage from the book of Proverbs? So this is what I want to talk to you about today. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, this is what was read earlier. It says this: an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. So this is what we call a contrasting proverb. It speaks about an excellent wife, a wise wife, but also it speaks about a foolish wife as well. So all I want to do today is take this particular proverb and use it as a springboard to speak about a wise wife and a foolish wife. So what does the proverb say? What things are negative that are said about a wife, and what things are positive? Now, ladies, please don't worry. We're going to do the men next week, so you can relax next week. So let's have a look at this. So firstly, we're going to look at those things which are negative. We're going to look at the foolish wife. So we look at certain aspects that are listed here, which talks about the foolish wife, and then we're going to look at more positively at the wise wife. So what is said about the foolish wife? She causes shame to her husband. So here, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, the second part, it says here, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. So in this particular proverb, you have positive things that is said about a wife and something negative as well. And, this particular proverb powerfully displays and demonstrates the effect that the wife can have on her husband or the life of her husband. She could either make him or she could break him. She can either build him or she can destroy him. She can either be a blessing or she can be a curse. Marriage very rarely is in between. It's either for better or it's for worse. That's why young people, you need to take care when choosing a life partner. Because either it'll bring out the best in you, or it'll bring out the worst in you. So this proverb is saying, look, yes, wives, you can make excuses and say, look, my marriage depends on my husband because he's the leader, he's the head. It doesn't depend on me. But the wisdom literature here in the book of Proverbs and this particular verse is saying, never forget, wives, you are involved. A successful marriage also depends on you and your character. Look at what he says. Look at the damage a wife can do. Verse 4 again. But she who causes shame is like rottenness. Rottenness to his bones. In some translations, it says, but a disgraceful wife is like decay to his bones. I don't think when the book of Proverbs was written that they knew everything about arthritis. But this is what it's saying here. A wife who brings shame to her husband, it's like arthritis to a husband, like gangrene. It disables him. It causes him pain. It causes decay. Women, you can either be a blessing or a curse to your husband. And it's saying here, if you cause him shame, this is what you are like. Like rottenness to his bones. Let's have a look at the next thing which is said, which is negative. She destroys her house. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, it says this. Again, this is another contrasting proverb. It says this. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Can you see the contrast here? A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one, with her own hands, can tear or pull the house down. Now, what is this talking about here? This is saying that women can have an extremely important role to play in society, especially in the home. And that word house is not speaking of a literal house, a building. It's talking about the household. It's talking about the family. So a wise woman works in such a way that her family is blessed. Her family is built up. The woman's first concern, if she wants to build a home, is not her children. Her first concern is her husband, and then the children. If you do it the other way around, and this can happen, that's a recipe for disaster. If you give all your affections that are due to your husband, you give them all to your children, and there's nothing left for your husband, and you end up maybe even despising your husband, you're going to tear your house to bits. Turn with me just to Titus. Turn to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Now here Paul is speaking to the people here. And he's speaking of the behavior of those who claim to know God, because there were some in the church who said, we know God, but their behavior didn't reflect it. And Paul is saying, no, if you know God, it will be reflected in the way you live. So look at chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. He's saying, look, it's not you saying, you know what, I know God. I have a relationship with God. But then it's not reflected in your works. If you know God, it'll change you. And it will be reflected in your behavior. So in reference here to a wife, what is a wife like who knows God? So chapter 2, you know, it talks about older men. Verse 3 talks about older women. These are ones who know God. And it says here, the older women likewise, verse 3, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, then to love their children. Paul deliberately puts husbands first, and then he talks about children. A wise woman who builds a house puts her husband first, even before her children. Of course, she'll spend a lot of time with the children. She's bringing up her children. Her children obviously will preoccupy her. But if that is all she does, and all her energy goes towards the kids, and she has no energy left for her husband, she is pulling her house down. The husband-wife relationship, and this goes for men as well, must come first. And if your relationship is good, then you're a good example to your children as well, and they'll be blessed. A foolish woman breaks her home. She destroys her family. She can be selfish. She puts herself first. Then she may put her children second. Then she puts her husband last. Maybe he doesn't even come into the equation. Some time ago, I was driving and listening to Radio 4. So usually when I'm driving, I do listen to Radio 4. There's a lot of discussions on the radio and programs that are interesting. And there's a program called Woman's Hour. And it discusses women's issues. And I was about to switch it off. I think this relates to women. But then there was a really interesting discussion, and it was very enlightening, so I carried on listening. So there was a debate between two women. One was an older lady, the other was a younger lady. And so the younger lady was arguing that the government should provide childcare, you know, pay for childcare for working women. And she complained, look, I go out every day, and the government, you know, I earn money, I pay my taxes, and the government should pay to look after my kids. And she says, look, I have to work. I can't afford to buy my children's uniforms and shoes and clothes and feed them. And I need clothes, and I need to go out on the weekend, and I need this and I need that. And the older lady listened to her, and she said to her in a very gentle and calm way, she said, yes, your kids certainly do need clothes, and they need proper food, and they need shoes. But do you really need so many clothes and so many shoes, and do you need to go out every weekend? She said, look, you can't have everything in life. You need to put your family first before you put yourself first. And you need to give your children time. And the younger lady, she listened and she didn't know what to say. Yes, times are difficult, but wise women build their families. They put their families before their own needs. But a foolish woman puts herself first before her family and before her husband. Thirdly, then, a foolish woman, what does it say? She is contentious. She is contentious. Let's have a look at this. So, Psalm 19. So I've just picked out all the verses as much as I know I can, or the ones that I've found, that talk about the role of women or wives in the book of Proverbs. So I'm just working through them one by one. So it's Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13 and 14. It says here, a foolish son is the ruin of his father. And the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So here again, you have a contrasting proverb, two proverbs, and verse 13 is the negative one here. It speaks of a son who's foolish and brings ruin to his father, but it relates that to a foolish wife who is contentious. And it's like a continual dripping. What is it talking about here? It's talking about a wife who is quarrelsome, argumentative, unsubmissive, rebellious. Her husband tells her to do something and she ends up picking an argument with him every time. She doesn't want to listen. She doesn't want to obey. Then what is that like? It's like a roof that is dripping with water. Think of a dripping tap. We can think of that, can't we? You're sleeping at night, but the tap is dripping. It's leaking. You can hear it from bed when you're sleeping. And it drips, and it drips, and it drips, and it irritates you. And you get up and you tighten it, but it carries on dripping. And it carries on and on and on. And it annoys you. And you can't sleep. Sisters, this is what it feels like for your husband if you are constantly looking for a fight and you want to be argumentative. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, says something similar. So Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9, you'll be familiar with this. Some of these are humorous, they're very funny, and I think they're deliberately made to be funny because it brings out the ridiculousness, the stupidity of being a fool. So verse 9 says this, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Again, this is talking about the same thing, an argumentative, quarrelsome wife. It's saying it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than to share the house with an argumentative wife. This proverb is repeated again in chapter 25 and verse 24, and also here in chapter 21 and verse 19. Now, when it talks about a roof here, don't think of this as a pitch roof like we have here, or our homes, we have pitch roofs. At the time, and in Israel, even today, and in Eastern countries like India, roofs are not pitched, are they? Roofs are flat. And you can go to the roof and you can sleep there. When I go to India, sometimes I sleep on the roof. Not because my wife is argumentative. She doesn't go. But I sleep there because it's nice and cool up there. So what this verse is saying is, it's speaking about the misery a husband feels when a wife is constantly arguing and nagging. And this is not saying you should leave her, you should divorce her, or anything like that. But it's expressing a sentiment. It's better to go to sleep on the rooftop than to be in the way of a contentious woman. So can you see here how even here in the Proverbs it's saying, look, a wife can drive a husband insane and cause him shame and be like rottenness to his bones. If I was to preach this in the world, I wouldn't survive because this is not very feministic, is it? It's not very friendly in the world. I'd be accused of being a misogynist or something like that. This is the world. This is the value of the world today. But this is what the Word of God says. And we mustn't be dictated by what the world says. Even in churches, you know, in churches, people wouldn't preach on this because people are scared of feminists in the congregation who will go to the pastor and have a go at them. How dare you speak like this? But this is the Word of God. And sisters, take heed, listen. Even if it hurts you, listen to what it says. These are the negative things. Secondly, sisters, you can relax now. We'll look at the positive things. The positive things. This is the wise wife. First of all, she is the crown of her husband. So, Proverbs chapter 12. Let's go back to that first verse. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Or in the NIV, it says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. An excellent wife, or a wife of noble character, which means she's self-controlled, dignified, modest, humble, loyal. She is like a crown to her husband. She can make him feel like a king. She can beautify his life. Can you see the positive and the powerful effect a wife can have on her husband? She could be his crown. Secondly, she could be a good thing. Proverbs chapter 18, let's turn to it. 18 and verse 23. Have I got this right? Verse 22, isn't it? He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. To find a wife is an excellent thing, with excellent character, is a good thing. It's a blessing from the Lord. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commentary on Ephesians chapter 5, if you have a chance to read that, please read it. It's absolutely brilliant when it talks about marriage life. And he gives an illustration there of a couple. I've used this illustration in the past, but let me draw it to your attention again because I think it's relevant here. And he said that the wife obviously was very clever, very intellectual, but the husband was not, and he was a little hesitant in conversation. So Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was invited to preach at their particular church, and after church, he stayed for lunch, and he had lunch with this couple. And he said, look, I was absolutely amazed with that wife. She was obviously a wife of godly character. He had found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. She was a crown to him. When they sat and had lunch, the wife was obviously confident, but the husband struggled. He was shy. He was withdrawn, and he struggled with words. And he said the wife helped him as he spoke, almost as if she was putting the words into his mouth and reminding him, yes, you know, of what to say. She helped him in his weakness rather than condemning him, rather than putting him down, rather than showing him up. She brought out the man in him and helped him to be a leader, a better leader, gently prodding him and reminding him of things to say. That's a godly wife. Rather than overpowering him, being overbearing, bullying him, destroying his manhood, she was helping him. To find a wife like this, it says here, is a good thing. And finally, ladies, a wise wife is a virtuous woman. Now, you should all memorize Proverbs 31. Ladies, this is your homework. Memorize Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, all the way to the end. This is brilliant for women. Now, here is a description of a virtuous woman, an excellent woman, a godly woman. And sisters, when you read this, you might think, you know what? I could never be like this. The point is, do you want to be like this? Is this your desire? Is this your goal? Most women these days in the world, you know, what do they want to be like? Do they want to be like footballers' wives? Is that the aspiration most young girls have? Glamour, fame? Or you want to be like a celebrity, a Bollywood actress or a Hollywood actress? Or you want to be like the royals? those in the public limelight? Do you follow them? You know, we love the gossip, don't we? What's going on with this one? What's going on with that one? What's going on with that one? Why do we do that? It's because something in us appeals to their lifestyle. And maybe in our heart of hearts, that's what we want. Sisters, forget the world. It looks good on the outside, but it is rotten on the inside. Look at these footballers' wives, the Rooneys and the Vardys. Have you seen that? Crazy. Two wives, footballers' wives, suing each other, taking each other to court. It's going to cost millions. I mean, really, their husband should have just stepped in and put a stop to it. Johnny Depp, Amanda Heard, seeing what's going on. This is what happens. Listen to their testimonies, how they lived on drugs, fighting, literally sometimes. It looks good on the outside, but their lives are miserable. Memorize this, put this into your heart. Sisters, want to be a virtuous woman. Like here, described in Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 31. I don't have time to go through everything here. I'm only going to touch on a few things. Verse 10 says this: who can find a virtuous wife? The implication there is that it's very, very hard. It's very hard to find a virtuous wife. It's rare. And look at verse 10, it says, for her worth is far above rubies. That's how rare it is. That's how valuable a virtuous wife is. Wives, tell yourselves, I want to be worth far, far, far above rubies to my husband. This is the type of wife I want to be. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. Isn't that amazing? His heart trusts her. Look at verse 12, talking about her husband. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her intentions are good towards her husband, not evil. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar off. Verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is careful. She is caring. She carefully selects wool, flax, linen. So she makes decisions very carefully for her family. Verse 15 through to 19, I don't have time to go into this, but you read it yourself at home. It tells us that she's extremely hard working. She doesn't wake up late. She rises early. She has a little vineyard on the side to supplement the food and her income. Verse 27, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Verse 20 to 21, she is giving, she is loving. Not only does she work hard for the sake of her family, but she helps the poor, and she's kind and she's generous. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. This is what governs her life. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And what's the result of this type of woman's behavior, this virtuous woman's behavior? How will her husband respond to her? How will her children respond to her? Sisters, how do you want your husbands to treat you? Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Sisters, I will guarantee you that if you seek to be like this virtuous woman, and I'm not saying it's easy, but if this is your goal, you don't have to tell your husband to praise you. He will automatically praise you, and so will your children. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. This is what this woman's like. And what is the secret? Is it charm? No. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. That's the world, isn't it? That's where the emphasis is, on beauty and charm. But here's the secret. But a woman who fears the Lord, that's the secret. A woman who knows Christ, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She's wise because she fears the Lord. She loves Christ. Sisters, this is an excellent wife. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. Remember this contrast. Remember the foolish wife and seek to be the wise wife. Amen.